Aloha, and welcome to the Mission North Shore podcast. If you'd like to know more about any of our ministries, you can check out our website at www.themissionnorthshore.org. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Lord, we thank you for your love upon us this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, our helper, our teacher. God, we ask for a move of your Holy Spirit this morning. Draw us closer to you this morning. Lord, remove anything from our hearts that it doesn't belong there, from our mind. I pray that you receive the glory this morning. Let everything that you created in us be a worship unto you. So we thank you, God. We pray the purification of your body, the body of Christ, this morning. We love you. Amen. Morning, church. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it says that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases or come to an end. They are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Sometimes we have to take a little effort to remind ourselves that it's because of his love that we are gathered here and that he gave us grace that we can be together to give him glory. Amen. Let's worship Jesus this morning.
I see your face in every sunrise, the colors in the morning are inside your eyes. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. Beautiful.
I see your power.
I see your power in the moonlit night. The planets are in motions and galaxies arise. We are amazed in the light of the stars. It's all proclaiming who you are. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Beautiful. I see you there hanging on the tree. You bled and then you died and you rose again for me. Now you are sitting on your heavenly throne. Soon we will be coming home. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful, Jesus. Sing your name is the highest. is the great and your name stands above them all
thrones,
all thrones and dominions, all power, all positions. Your name stands above them.
A song forever. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we wish to see you this morning, God. Lord, those songs, let it be just, not from just from our lips, but from our hearts. And that we mean it when we say that you are holy. And teach us, God, what it means to worship truly in spirit and in truth. Lead us this morning to hear your voice. We pray your anointing upon Pastor Al, that you speak to us. We give you all glory.
All right. How you doing this morning? It's good to be here again. God bless you guys, Mission. You know, I was over there in the prayer group. My wife and I, we came the last 2 weeks to pray in the morning before the service. What a great thing to do, to actually engage with brothers and sisters, to pray for God's heart for what he wants to do with you as a church. And I was thinking about it that, you know, you're like a sister church. You're like a real family to me, because I know some of you in here and been part of you. And I thought about Sunset Beach Christian, and I know that there's many that I know over there that have been part of me, and I've been part of them. And then I thought about the Refuge, who CCW, that's Calvary Chapel, Hawaii. Well, we were part of planting that church, or we actually set out to do that, and with Pastor Garrett, and definitely he's family to all of us here. And I thought about North Shore Christian Fellowship, which is kind of our birth, our mother church in some ways. North Shore actually birthed all the Calvaries, if you want to look at it that way, and then a lot of other churches that have really loved the Lord and loved God, and they're definitely family. And then I thought about Calvary Chapel Waiwa up in Waiwa and some of the other churches that we have connection up there with, and I realized how important the family of God really is. And maybe you don't, maybe you do, I'm sure you do, because you have a great pastor, by the way. I love Tripp, and he's a great guy, and he loves the Lord, and he gives a word better than most. And I wonder if you realize how important you are to the North Shore. I really do. I wonder if you really have considered that God has raised up this church, not just for this single moment of yourself together, but to be part of the community that God is wants to really build on the North Shore and on the island of Oahu to make a difference for the gospel. Have you really considered it? That coming here to meet is not just an exercise of futility, but it's actually an exercise of faith to be the congregation of the saints that would make the difference in the areas that you live in on the North Shore and wherever you may be. And that God really does have a desire for this particular church. And when I heard Paulo talking about prayer, am I in the way of something here? Because I keep getting a little bit of ring here. So I want to encourage you this morning as we go to Philippians chapter 3. And I want to encourage you because more and more in my days of waning down here and on my time on earth, you know, I'll be 70 in October, and you know, I don't know how many more years I have. I might have plenty, I might not. But one of the things that God has really spoken to me very clearly in the Word and in my heart is that this connection of being the church, of really understanding how important it is, this community that we belong to, that in a world that is desperate and dark and really has gone far away from God and has no clue about life or eternal life or the things that really matter on this earth, and that the function of who you are. You know, Paul makes it real clear, and so does the Bible, that we cannot function without each other. And that we cannot really begin to even understand the work of God unless we understand and really know how much we need each other. I mean, first of all, we need Christ over everything. He is our all in all. And that's what we're going to talk about today, this morning. And I'll get to the text. I'm not going to just talk on and on. But when you get my age, you start to think things about things. You look at the thing that happened in Maui and Lahaina, and you have friends that are pastors and people that know the Lord over there, and you realize that unless that community really steps forward and comes together, Maui is lost. But I've seen it already happening that they are coming together, by the way, thanks to your prayers and to the prayers of the saints all over for them. Because they are making a difference. And I'm not just saying they're the only ones. There's a lot of people in that community that are reaching out. But they're reaching out with something that's eternal, something that's forever, and that is Christ. So please, please, church, don't belittle what God is doing with you, and don't belittle what God wants to do with you, and don't think that you're not important to what God's work is about here on the North Shore. If there's ever a place that needs Christ, it's the North Shore, amen? So, with your permission, I want to pastor. You have a great pastor, so I'm not pastoring over him, but I want to pastor you just for a moment. I want you to do me a favor and stand up and pray with me. And I want you to do me a favor and connect up with each other. One of the things that I know about prayer is that we are connecting with who? With God, first and foremost. That's what prayer really is all about, is speaking to the heart of God. And then through that, we connect up with each other in a very real way so that we can learn to give of ourselves to each other and to what God's work is about. And of course, that means that we reach into the communities and into the very world that we live to share the love and the grace and the power of Jesus Christ to change a life, to redeem a human life. And so if you'll pray with me, we'll pray for Lahaina and Maui again. I got some Steve Santos, Pastor Steve, and Pastor Sean Hausman, and some other pastors I know over there. I want to pray for them and the church and what's going on over there. And then I would ask you, as chaplain of Halaba Correctional Facility, I'm always in need of great prayer for that community over there, not only the saved community, but the lost community that really much is a part of that facility. Father, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for the mission. I thank you for Pastor Tripp and Emily and the other pastors and elders in the church and this congregation, Lord. These are your people. God, you've manifested yourself in their lives. You have built them into a body. You are doing things with them as a church. And I know you want to use them even more in a mighty way to make a difference in this community and the communities that they minister in. So I pray for them. I pray for us. And I pray for them. And I pray for this body right now in Jesus' name. Your mighty hand on the mission. Your mighty hand on what you want to do with them in this community. To even meet with others in the community that are the believers in this community, that they would make a difference for your name's sake. We pray for Maui, specifically Lahaina right now, and Kula, which many people have lost. Some have lost their lives, and many have lost their homes, their property. But God, only you can make the difference. Only you can really bring peace and comfort, and only you can really touch in this situation because you're God. And so we pray that you would touch your community of believers over there, the churches, men like Sean Hausman and Steve Santos and others that love you and know you. Rick, I think of Rick up on Kula area, Lord, and just, God, that you would make the difference there. And that the whole community, I know, not just the believing community, but the whole community has come together, and I pray that you would help them, God, and you would give us the power to just continue to send resources, but even more so to pray and really seek your face for what's going on over there, and that you would be their comfort and their hope. And finally, Lord, I pray as a church, Lord, for what goes on in the facilities, the jails and the prisons of Oahu and all of Hawaii, Lord God, that you would make a difference with all the believers that are in there. Not only the incarcerated, but those that are the ACOs and the staff and administration. I know many of those. And God, that you would touch lives, redeem lives, move lives into a place, broken lives that can be healed and mended only by you. God, and that's not just in the incarcerated, but that's in the facility. And I pray for Halaba specifically and for myself and the chaplain assistants and the church behind bars there, Lord God, that we would be real with you and recognize how much we need you and how grateful we are to have you. Use us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. All right, so we're going to get into chapter 3 of Philippians. And we talked last week in the first part of it, and we're going to start in verse 8. And I think, do you have the Mark 8, 34, 38? Scripture up there? Is that there? Okay. Because we talked about, Paul talks about that he counts all things lost in verse 8 there of chapter 3 of Philippians. In view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord, my Lord, for whom he says, I have suffered loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. And I thought about, we used Matthew last week, and I thought about Mark, and they were in 8, 34, 38, says, calling the crowd along with his disciples, Jesus said to them, or he said to them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And I thought about that because Paul, as he talks about that, really does remind us and encourage us that we need to realize that knowing Jesus and thinking about the surpassing value or the excellence of Christ, we really suffer no loss. Our loss is our gain for anything that would hold us away from the Lord, and that we count it as rubbish and count it as dung, it really means in the Greek there, that we would gain what? The only gain that we really have is Christ. It's the only thing that we take with us, you guys. You know, he is the one who brings us home. And so to know him is to actually gain life. And so let's go ahead and read from verse 9 on to the end of the chapter. He says, I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect or complete, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I've often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So when we really think about, you know, what it means to be the church and who we are as the community of believers, this understanding that he gives to us to know him is probably one of the most important things that we can understand about what we're doing in our lives as Christians and as the church. You know, that idea of knowing him, there are several points that Paul gives to us and that we need to understand and how we know him. The one is that we would know him, and by the way, it means to intimately and to really fully grab a hold of who he is. You know, that you and I, as believers, would spend real time and desire to be with him. That we would have an intimacy with him as with we would do with our mates and with our families, to really understand who he is. And Paul says in two ways that we would do this. One, because we're going having this intimate relationship and we're going deeper with him, and that we would be specifically understanding his power, the power of his resurrection, and the suffering, the fellowship of his sufferings, that we would be conformed to his death, that we could attain his resurrection, but that in knowing him, that we would understand what it is to really understand that power of the resurrection. And I think about it because the power there means dunamis, and that's the idea where you get dynamite. And it talks about, you know, you think about dynamite, you think about blowing things apart. Well, this power, and it's inherent in him, this power resides by the very virtue of him being God and exerts the very power of performing miracles, of changing and redeeming lives, its excellence of soul. I look at all the things that it belongs to the riches and powers of resources that make change. This is the power that created everything. It's the power that gives life. It is the power that restores everything. It is this kind of resurrection power we're thinking about this morning. It's the power that redeemed you and me. It's the power that regenerated our very souls. It's the power that I see in the prison that totally and completely and utterly changes a man's life. Takes broken men with broken lives from broken families and starts to mend and heal and restore in a way that no one can. No rehabilitative system, no alcohol program, none of the things that we think that are important to heal and make a difference for people can do what Jesus Christ does. I have benefits from this resurrection here, and I think that their points will come up, huh? First one that I have 10 points here. The first one I have is that it verifies all that has been written and all that Jesus has said and done. It is the finality of all that matters. Two, it is the power. And when I say that, I say that very quickly, but the thing is, think about it. It means that the Word of God is true. It means that everything that we believe and everything that we're doing and that God is doing with us counts for something. It's intentional. It's purposed. It's the finality that God has said everything is finished. It's a thing that we do for our lives. It's the power to live the Christian life. We are new creations because the Holy Spirit has been sent to indwell us. God is transforming us. He is metamorphosis. He is changing us. We are becoming new. We are new creations in Him, but our life is constantly being dynamically changed and growing. It's the power to give us the ability to live a Christian life. It's the assurance for all of us that eternal life is real. As we believe and surrender, we are a part of His family forever. God is the one who is transforming us. God is the one that we are co-heirs with. Jesus Christ is. It's number four. The resurrection power includes all who come to Him. All who come to Him, no matter what station of life, there are no outcasts with God. As we have been invited in, let us invite others to come. Jesus invites us to come, so should we. We should invite others to come to Christ. And this resurrection power that does this, we no longer need to fear ridicule, opinions of others, worldly wisdom, but look to Him for courage and boldness. It is what He has done in our lives. We are no longer captives held by death or the devil. Sin has been defeated, and we can have real victory over it in our lives. We are welcomed into and are important to God's gospel community. There's a bigger work for us to do. When I was talking about that earlier, the church is connecting up, and you realizing who you are as the church, how important it really is. It's what I constantly hammer on in the prison with the men, with the church behind bars, that there's a bigger work to do, that it's not just about you getting through your time while you're here in this prison, but it's actually you reaching out and realizing that you are the missionary, because the pastors and the chaplains cannot go into the modules and live in the cell blocks like you do. You make all the difference in the world there. Number eight, we have lives that have real peace and joy no matter what the circumstance, no matter what's going on in the world today, because more of those things that we see that happen in Lahaina will happen We see tragedy and fallenness all over the world. We suffer loss constantly, and yet we know because we have real peace and joy with Christ, because of this resurrection power that he gives us, our hope is given to others as we share of the resurrection, as we share this Jesus Christ that we have, this Savior that we have. And finally, it means we can truly have real and complete intimacy with our Lord. I have here a little note. In fact, it is the only way that dead sinners with evil hearts being enemies of God can now become alive saints and with new hearts and minds, part of his family, becoming friends with God. You know what's amazing as I sit and look at you guys? Is you were dead, but the power, because you know him and the power of his resurrection, you're alive. You say, wait a minute, I'm alive right now. But no, you were dead spiritually. You were dead in your trespasses. God didn't save you to make you a better person. God saved you to make you a live person. You know, we're not being made into better people, or our morals are being better. We are being made alive, and we are made alive in Christ to live out a life that will share the truth of the gospel and the truth of eternal life with others. Another important aspect of living in Christ and this thing of knowing him, as Paul says, is to know the fellowshipping of his suffering. The fellowship, and Paul did that, and we see that in his life as we study it in the book of Acts. Paul does that, and we see that, we know that he suffered greatly for Christ. And you go, well, I don't know if I've ever suffered. We live on the North Shore. We have lots of things, and yet, because of this understanding of suffering, the suffering of Jesus, and this fellowship of suffering with him, we do have real intimacy attached to what this means. It gives us clarity on the seriousness of sin. It gives us clarity of the sorrow that we see around us. It helps us understand the fallenness that is there. We have to share this. You don't hear a lot of messages in churches. They want to make us feel better and feel good about ourselves. We live in a fallen, dying world, you guys. There are many who are lost and on their way to hell. Hell's a real place, and people will be eternally there. We are the people that God's called and brought up to and wants to bring into this thing of really understanding that there's a real life in Christ, that hell doesn't have to be your eternity. Instead, that we can definitely have the wonderful truth of being with Jesus always. Suffering means pathos, and it means afflictions, and in the context, it is something we share with each other. Jesus is the man of sorrows. Paul knows to know him is to know the agony of the darkness and the destruction of sin. It is also to remind us that it conforms us to his likeness, for we become more like him. It causes us to care like him, to live after him, to desire the things that he desires, and to die to the world and our flesh. So, it's not only the great understanding of the power of the resurrection we need, but it's understanding this fellowship of sufferings. We're called to it. Let's lean into it, that we would really look and see how much the world needs Jesus and understand how important it is to suffer for his namesake. He goes on and he says that, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may hold of what I may be hold of what that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I love the fact that what he's saying is, hey, follow him. Paul's saying, follow Christ. You know that you and I, this is a struggle. It's a struggle of faith. It's a struggle of life that we live. It's not an easy thing to be a Christian. It's not all, now that you're a Christian, everything gets better. I mean, everything is easy. In fact, it gets harder. You start to realize that life is not that easy. And you start to realize as you look around and see that there is so many who do not know and so many that are on the way to destruction. And that's a really awful thing to think about. And I have a couple of scriptures here when we think about following. And one is out of 1 Kings 18:21, and that's really where you look at the fight that Elijah had with the, well, not really a fight, but the challenge that he gave to Israel over the prophets or the priests of Baal. And I love the fact that in 18:21, he says, Elijah came near to all the people and he says, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? How long will you want to hold on to the world, or how long will you try to hold on to God? Which one do you want to have? And he says, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Why? Because they were afraid. And they didn't understand. And then, of course, we see the power of God in that, what happens with that particular thing with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. But the question is good. How long will you stand between two opinions, church? Will you allow yourself to let the world be your guidance, or will you now follow Christ? Jesus says this, and he says it to Peter as Peter's asking about John. He said to him, if I want him to remain, talking about John to Peter, until I come, what is that to you? And here's a question, and here's the thing that Jesus says to all Christians and all disciples and all who would believe. He says, you follow me. You follow me. So Paul reminds us that there's a struggle and that we're not yet glorified and not yet with our Lord. So we continue to recognize the work that God's doing in us. And we press on, and I love that. Press on meaning we continue to seize or take or seek after all that Jesus has taken hold of. Eternal life, free from the power of sin. All the redemptive work that God's doing, forgiven and cleansed, moving forth in the redemption of his power. We do all those things. This pressing on is to possess and take up and go forward with all that Jesus did for us, all that he is for us. Do you know him today? Do you know him today? Do you know the power that he has to change a life? You know that he has created everything, including you, for his purposes and his plan. He says that we haven't attained it or taken hold of it yet, that we're pressing on towards Christ. By the way, Christ is the goal and the price and the prize. He says, I press, in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, that Christ, Jesus Christ is our goal. Jesus Christ is our prize, and this is what we press on for, guys. This is what the mission is to press on for. This is what we're to be about in what we do. And I love the fact that he goes on and says that we're to press on to maturity, because look what he says. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect or complete, have this attitude. Let us have this attitude, which is what? The attitude and the mind of Christ. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. What is that standard? The standard that Christ gives to us, the standard that Paul talks about. It's consistency. It's constancy. It's being the same, in a sense, in diversity in the church. Because he is talking about to the church, not just individually here. That we would corporately understand how to live and keep this attitude, which is the attitude and the biblical mindset that God has given to us. I was reading a thing that was very depressing the other day. And it was written by that guy who does the surveys, Barner, you know. And he said that of all those who call themselves Christian, only 4%, I don't know how they get this, but it really is probably true, only 4% have a biblical mindset. That means only 4% of all the people who call themselves Christians think biblically. They look to the Bible for their source of guidance and for their source of life. He said that those who are born again Christians, who call themselves born again Christians, only 13% have a biblical worldview. What's a biblical worldview? Have you thought about it? It means that the Bible really is your standard. It means that the Bible really is the place that you find your strength in, your guidance, your wisdom, that you spend time with Jesus, that you really do make a difference in the sense of how you live your life by what the Bible shares and what it does. So that all the things that we see going on in our culture right now, And that's hate speech that you don't care about those people. I've been accused of that in the prison, by the way, that I hate gays. And I had to talk to a young gay man who was finding fault with me, and I told him how much I loved him and how wrong he was. That I love him because Christ loves him. And that to me he has value and worth because Christ died for him. But I'm not going to buy into the culture that tells me this is the way to live when I see how Jesus has shown me the way to live. And Paul reminds us that this is a pattern, or this is the standard that we hold to, and it's consistent because it's based on the Bible. It's constant because it's based on the Bible. And we recognize that we all have the same virtues and the sameness in that sense, but we're all diverse because we all have different personalities and we're different people. And so we're reminded, and I love this thing where he says that, brethren, join in following my example, okay? And then he says, observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. In other words, you look at my life, but also look at others and say, what is the pattern that they have? What is the thing that they do? What is according to what? And I the pattern that I have here is this is the pattern, the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. Because it is consistent as we follow him, the way. And it is consistent as we listen and know the truth, him. And it is consistent as we live our lives according to his life. It's constant. It's who we are in Christ. It's who the mission is as a church. And then he goes on and he says, for many walk of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And I look at that and he says, many walk. And I think to myself, well, they're enemies. But look at Paul says, and tell you even weeping. Weeping why? Weeping that they would do this. Weeping over their lostness. Weeping of where it leads people to. That they would be the enemy of the cross of Christ. And what is it? Their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is their shame. They set their minds on earthly things. Their wisdom comes from the earth. It does not come from heaven. And we're not like those. We're not to be. That's not the church. And so we have an example of Paul really letting us know how to love your enemy, that we weep over them and pray for them. And we accept the fact that we will be persecuted and hated for our love for Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you really see that? Do you understand that? That the world really does hate Christ, and so in hating Christ, they'll hate us too. And yet you'll say, well, what does that mean? It just means that their whole life and the thing that they are will be completely opposite of what we are about. And we bring up these things of heaven, and we bring up these things that matter, and we see that their God is their destruction. And I think about that because I got a big belly now. I go, oh my gosh, is that my destruction? Lustful appetite. The glory that they glory in is really shame before God. And their minds on earth, their flesh, the end is destruction. It's funny how God can take what is shame and turn it into glory if we live a redeemed life. And I was talking to a brother who just got out of prison the other day, and he was on my work line. He's a really good guy, and his mom does not want him to share with anybody about his prison life. And so when I was introducing him to some people, I said, oh yeah, this guy was in prison with me, and he's a prison, you know, he came out of prison. I said, don't ever be ashamed of what God has taken that was shame as his glory, please. He took your broken life. He took the things that you had done, and now he's turned them around. And look at you now. You are walking with Christ. You are a man of God. You are somebody who makes a difference in the lives of others. You are part of the redemptive structure of what God wants to do as he's redeeming those in this world. Don't ever turn that to shame. Let it be the glory that God has taken your shame and turned it to glory. Amen? So, as he says that, because we're not basing our things on earthly things, and I'm going to get closer so we can get back to worship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power, notice that power of the resurrection, that he has even to subject all things to himself. So we are to be with him, not only here, but also in heaven. We are to remind ourselves that this is not our home. We're sojourning here. We're just pilgrims coming along for a journey that God's taking us on to get to our home, which is heaven. And so to be citizens of heaven, it means this. As citizens of heaven, we are under the governing authority of heaven. It is God's will that counts, not our rights. It is God's will that counts, not our rights. As citizens, we share in heaven's rewards. Our treasure is being deposited there, waiting for us. Remember, Jesus said that our treasures are in heaven. He's guarding over them. He's looking forward to handing them out to us when we get there. As citizens, our home is in heaven with our Father's house. And he has many rooms, and I love that song that he has a big, big yard where we can play football. As citizens, the pleasures and the beauty of heaven are ours to enjoy forever. As citizens, we love heaven and feel a strong longing for it. We look to it. We want it. Now, I know sometimes we don't. Sometimes we really plant our feet here on the earth, but this is really who we are as citizens of heaven. As citizens of heaven, we realize it's our home. We keep in communication. In other words, we pray, we spend time looking to the Lord, we wait eagerly for his return. What does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? We will have new bodies that we are able to have to be in the glory of our God. We will have these new bodies, they'll put us in the glory of our God. We will know that he has all things subject to himself, so that everything in the future, even right now, will be glorious in Christ. That's citizens of heaven. And if you turn with me to Revelation 22, 1 through 7, I just want to read that. The new heavens and the new earth, it starts in 21, but, you know, as we go there, I love this little aspect of it where John's being given a real picture, of heaven. And he says, then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, no curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no longer any night, And they will not have need of the light of the lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which soon must take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And I love that aspect. I mean, you read the whole thing and you go, wow, what an amazing place that we're going to be part of and that God has given to us as citizens of heaven. Do you know Christ this morning? Have you been under his and in his power of his resurrection, that you have been redeemed, that you're renewed, that you have a new life, that you've understood the fellowship of his sufferings, because the world is in such a fallen state and needs lively and vital and vigorous Christians, those who have a biblical mindset, those who would really walk in his truth and in his strength, his pattern, the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know that you have not attained yet, and it is a struggle, and that we have to struggle through this, but we press on for him. He's our goal, and he's our prize. And I want to finish with this. D.L. Moody, as he was dying, said this kind of a neat thing. He said, I see the earth receding and heaven ascending. So it seems like he was leaving his body almost as he said it to the people who were there as he died. I see earth going away and heaven coming forth. What an awesome thing to think about. That we who know Christ have something to really look forward to, not only right now, but for the future. And we have that to offer. We have that to offer that to everybody. Amen? That's what you're about, mission. That's really what you're about. It's why it's the mission of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this church, that you would do your great work with them. God, use them in a mighty way. Many to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Spirit, sound, rushing wind, fire of God, fall within. Holy Ghost, breathe on us, we pray. As we repent, turn from sin, revival.
Hearts that burn, holy fear, purify within thee, refine us, fire, strength and world remains. Since we the church bear your light, flame of flame, city bright, King. One we pray. Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out. Holy anointing, the power of your presence. Pour your Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. There's nothing one more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. Chain is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Come on, let's cry out to the Holy Spirit.
Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill. Your presence, Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Won't you get shy on me? Lift up your soul. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, church.
Come on, my soul. Won't you get shy on me? Lift up your soul. Cause you got a lion inside. Sing this song as I often do. This song will stay, and you never do.
Here we go.
So I throw my hands, praise you again. Just one move with my arms stretched wide. I will worship you. So I throw my hands, praise you again and again.
Your voices.
Oh, come on, my soul. Won't you get shy on me? Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Won't you get shy? Got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw my hands and praise you again and again. So that I have is a So when I fight on my knees, my head's lifted up. Oh, battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh,
put your hands together.
When all I see is the bad, you see my victory. When all I see is the mouth, you see the mouth. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surround me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe.
Here we go.
So when I fight, I fight on my knees with my hands. Oh God, battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there is nothing impossible for you. And when all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. Your feet, I'll sing to the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, Almighty, Almighty Fortress. You go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Oh, mighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the dark. You win every battle. I'll sing to the night. Oh God, battle belongs to you. Oh God, battle belongs to you. And Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you.
Hallelujah, God. Lord, we thank you that our home is heaven, that one day you will come for us, Lord. Teach us, God, to continually be your church in this community, to be the example, to live out Jesus. Lord, I pray that our lives will reflect who you are in this community. Thank you so much, God, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for you are our Abba Father, our Papa. Lord, have your way this morning in our hearts. Have your way this week, the way how we live. We praise you, we honor you, we glorify your name, and we love you, love you, we love you, Jesus. And all God people say,